If you have your Bible this morning, would you join me in the book of Acts? Acts chapter 16. It's the fifth book of the New Testament. Acts chapter 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke, John, Acts chapter 16. And while you're turning, I wanted to make a couple of announcements. We're on the CD now, we're good. Let me mention a couple of things real quick. First of all, or a couple of events. One is, I want to say, first of all, thank you. To thank those who filled in last week. The worship team, always a blessing, been faithful. Brother Mark, sharing, not only leading the worship, but sharing the word next week. And Brother Gary leading in that time of communion. I just thank God for the ministry continuing on as I had a time to be back with the kids' church last Sunday. It was a blessing. I thank God for that. This is the first through fifth grade. The preschoolers came down and joined us for a little worship time too. But we had a great time. I really enjoyed them. Love being with them. Thank God for parents, grandparents who are just faithful to bring them. I wanted to let you know as well that on our website, as of God willing, we'll have it up today, but we have a kids' church take-home page. So if you're here, of course, you can pick this up after church and go over with your children or grandchildren sometime during the week. But if you just want to check it out, feel free, go on the website. Go up on ministries, if you put the mouse over ministries, there'll be a drop-down tab that says kids' church take-home page. And their message today is, God is real. So that's what the elementary will be learning. So if you want to check that out. Also, usually every week I put a little blog out. I printed it off this morning, but under where it says, I think it says from the pastor. I didn't actually set up the website. It's a brother in New York who does it for us. But there's notes, there's an outline like from today's message, and it has some questions on there if you want to go over it, maybe just for yourself to kind of water the seed of God's word or get together with someone else and go over it together. I just want you to know it's a resource that's available to you there. So that those are both on the website. And thank God for everyone who serves. I really mean this. You are a blessing. You are a blessing whatever you do. At whatever age, even whether it's in service, out of the service, I just thank God for your heart to serve the Lord and to be a blessing to others. Acts chapter 16, and I want to just begin reading two verses here. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 30, and then we'll also read verse 31. The Bible says this, "Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved.'" Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you know this has been in my heart, I ask that you would draw people into genuine salvation today. In your mercy, show us our need, and may you equip us to be those who would go out and faithfully represent you, to lead others to you and reap the harvest, Lord, that you are bringing forth in this generation to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is just simply the question that this man asked here in Acts chapter 16, verse 30. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And I'd like to give you a little background on this message. I was already planning, just, you know, as I pray and try to prepare, I was already planning on sharing a series of messages in September dealing with just repentance and coming back to the Lord and drawing closer to Him as His people, as the church, and then for our nation. And as I was all in this process, I saw a Rabbi Jonathan Kahn on television, I don't know, maybe a couple or a few weeks ago. As a matter of fact, whenever I put it in the bulletin, that's when I saw it. And he believes God is calling us to repentance and drawing us. He's calling us to return to Him. And so there is an event called The Return. I have it in the bulletin there. It's the last Saturday of this month. I think it's the 26th. And it's a global day of prayer and repentance, drawn to the Lord on that Saturday. And then I just received some mail actually this week, and I've received an email from Franklin Graham. And on that same day, and I don't know if they're coordinating this or not, I'm not sure, but on that same day of that Saturday, September 26th, he's calling for a prayer march there right in Washington, D.C., 1.8 miles to walk there together, to come together and pray for our country, to just pray for our nation, come together as believers to call on the Lord. So I already had those things in mind. It was in the bulletin. I said, you know, even that Saturday, maybe we can come together and open the church up for an hour and just come together and pray and just to seek the Lord. Well, in this process, I recently heard of, and I'm not going to mention any names right now, there's no one here, okay? But I heard of a man who said, he referenced these two verses, Acts 16, 30 and 31. And he said what he liked about Christianity is that you don't have to repent, you just have to believe. And I can understand where he was coming from. I didn't ask him. I wasn't there, so I don't want to speak for anyone else. But I picture that that is an attitude and a perspective that many might have. All you got to do is believe. And that there is a sense where that's true. But everyone believes something. So if you say, all you got to do is believe, but believe what? See, the answer specifically they gave him was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And if we believe something that is false, then we can think we're Christian without having a heart transformation. And I guess my burden about that is, Are people, I'm not anyone's judge. The Lord knows those who are his. But he even said that at the judgment, many would come to him. Many would come to him on that day and say, Lord, Lord, they had the words right. We did this. We did that. We did this work. We did all the outward things. And the Lord's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Because there was never a relationship. And so in my mind, I'm asking, I wonder, could it be that the reason we see some professing Christians fall away is that there was never that conversion, there was never that heart change, never a work of God's grace in our heart? And could it be that we, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone else, that we as the body of Christ right here, could it be that the reason we're not having a greater impact right here is because, again, maybe we're religious, but we're not righteous. We have church, but not Christ. We profess without possess. So what must I do to be saved? So God knows my heart today is just simply, I want to share the simple gospel, but the gospel, even though it's simple, is the power of God. It's life-changing. And it bears some fruit. And, of course, there's a lifetime of growth, but we've got to take that first step and get that right. This is a matter of eternal and spiritual life and death. So what must I do to be saved? And I want that for us, for everyone who's here, everyone who's streaming, but I want it through us. In other words, I want us to know so that we can go out and point others to Jesus too. He did the hard part, but we've got to, don't you know that the deceiver wants to twist this just enough to make us where we're deceived and we think we're okay, but we're really not. So what must I do to be saved? And I'm going to give you a few verses here if you want to write these down. But if you're there in Acts 16, would you just turn over to chapter 20 and hold your spot for a moment, please? Acts chapter 20. And the word saved means rescued. What must I do to be rescued? It also means delivered. What must I do to be rescued, delivered? It can even mean healed. It's the same Greek word. Saved, delivered, healed. Jesus covered it all by what he did at the cross and through his resurrection. And the scripture says that what must I do to be rescued? What must I do to be saved? In other words, I'm in a state where I cannot save or rescue myself. Have any of you ever been in a situation where you actually needed someone else to rescue you? Anyone? Would you raise your hand? Anyone? A few of us? I was some years ago. I learned to float, but I didn't know how to swim. And I was out at Lake Chesedon, and we were in a place called Leonard's, a little campground. If you ever went out there years ago, there was a rope. It was like in the show, you had three sides. You go out from the bank, and there was, to the left in front of you and to the right, making a little box there, basically. You could swim in, and going beyond that, you would be out where the boats were. Well, my mom had taken my sister and I there one day, and I was floating, so I was going to do my little floating. I floated and didn't know that I had drifted out. I didn't realize I had drifted right out past the rope and didn't know it. And my mom was running into the water. She's shorter. She couldn't swim. And she was calling and hollering, and I couldn't hear her because my ears weren't in the water. So when I went to stand up, of course, I went up under because I was out over my head. And I had enough instinct to fight to live that even though I didn't know how to swim, I was doing like this, paddling up and down, trying to get air. And I wasn't so far out from the rope that I had gotten closer, and I worked my way to the rope and thought, because I saw a man coming in after me. He was running from the bank and coming out swimming toward me. And of course, even if he wasn't, I'd have tried to keep myself up. And I got to the rope, and when I went to push down on it, like to push myself up, the rope was so slack that there was no support, it was no help. And I thought, isn't that a picture of a false hope? That we think, I've got this. But then when we put the weight of our sin on it, it will let us down. And so I got to that rope and I couldn't, and I was going down again. And, you try to keep water out of your mouth, but you got to try to breathe. And this man came, I don't know his name to this day, but he got behind me and actually was shoving me through the water, behind me, pushing, shoving me. I guess he didn't want to get himself to where I could get all over him and just my wildness, and shoved me to where I could get back on my feet and work my way to the bank. I did go thank that man before I left. And in that sense, he's saying, what must I do? I can't save myself. I can't deliver myself from my sin. But what must I do to be rescued? So that's the idea here. I want to read you basically the first message Jesus preached, if you want to just write the reference down in Mark. In Mark chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Because, what does Jesus have to say about it? Because, again, when we're talking about rescued, here's our state is that we have all sinned. We have all sinned, and the penalty for our sin is death. That means separation from God. We're not only separated from Him now, even while we're breathing physically, we'll be separated from Him forever in a place Jesus said was prepared for the devil and his angels, but no one has to go there because there is good news. That's the bad news. That's the state we're in. But Jesus said this in Mark 1:15. Jesus comes to them. In fact, let me read verse 14 as well. It says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel. That word means good news. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. I want to emphasize that this morning just through the rest of this time. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. Would you say that with me? Repent and believe the good news. That sounds great, y'all. Would you say it again? Repent and believe the good news. So what does it mean to repent, though? The idea of repent in Old and New Testament really has the idea of a change of mind or to turn. So to change one's mind, it can really refer to changing any aspect of one's life. It could be a change of attitude, change of heart. But the change of mind and a willingness to turn. So that's what it means to repent. So repent and believe the good news. Let me give you the good news. The good news is that God loved us so much that He judged His own sinless Son in our place. Jesus willingly suffered and died to bear the judgment of God's wrath and the judgment of hell against our sin when He suffered and died on the cross. That's good news. The sentence for our sin has already been served. It's already been executed. So He says, repent and believe the good news. Change your mind, turn and believe the good news. That's what it means to repent. And then Jesus conquered death 3 days later. He arose. He is enthroned in heaven right now, and Jesus is the only one who is qualified and able to rescue us from our sins. Jesus is the only one who is qualified and able to save us from spiritual death. He is the only one who is qualified and able to save us from physical death, because if we know Him, even though these bodies one day will quit working, we'll live in resurrected, glorified bodies forever. And Jesus is the only one who is qualified and able to save us from a devil's hell. Repent and believe the good news. That's what Jesus said. Acts chapter 20. Would you look at verse 20? Acts chapter 20, verse 20. What did the apostles preach? Here it is right here. He says, this is Apostle Paul. He says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, Jesus said it, now the apostles say it again. Look at that verse, please, one more time. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God. That's the turning. So I'm repenting toward God. In other words, I'm going on my own little sinful, do what I want to way. Repentance is simply toward God and putting my faith in Jesus Christ, that He alone can save me, that He will save me. Repent and believe the good news. I'm not being mean. I'm not being harsh here. But this is so important. Brothers and sisters, we've got to get this right. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. I want to give you God's word. This is scripture. In fact, if you want to write one more scripture down, let me give you this one. I'll read it to you from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1 says this. Therefore, please notice these words, leaving the discussion of the elementary, that's like the basics, right? The first elementary school, right? Elementary grades and so forth. Leaving those elementary discussions, the principles of Christ or Messiah, let us go on to perfection. That simply means maturity. It's not being sinlessly perfect. We don't have that in this life. But we go on to grow in Christ, go on to maturity. And notice again, not laying again the what? This is elementary, foundational Christian truth right here. Scriptural teaching, he says, laying a foundation of, notice it, repentance from dead works. In other words, I'm turning from thinking I can be good enough in my own effort, repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That is the turning. So when believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In our culture, it's probably easy to think, oh, this is first, middle, and last name. All right, it's not. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ means Messiah, and Lord means He's God. He is the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So He says, believe on or believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What that means is believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and Christ. In other words, He is God and Messiah. It's the right type of believing that saves us. We've got to make sure we have faith, not just to have faith, but we have faith in the right one and that we believe the right truth. Repent and believe the good news. That turning is repentance. And so I understand we don't work or anything. We do believe. But don't you see that there has to be at least that willingness to turn from unbelief to faith in Jesus, to trust Him? If that turning is not required, then we can just be, and I'm not bashing them, I'm really not, but I have heard that there are literally, that Hindus have literally 1 million gods. And if all you have to believe, hey, let's just cover our bases, be on the safe side, let's add Jesus in the mix. But that's not what He said. He is the only way. He is the only truth, and He is the only life that will give us access to God the Father. Access to eternal life and access to a holy God. Amen. Let me give you two more real quick. A couple more verses. All right, if you want to write these down. because salvation is, I want to be careful not to critique and condemn others about this, but it's not enough to repeat a prayer. If we just repeat a prayer, and again, there hasn't been that work of God's grace. See, salvation is a supernatural work of God's Spirit in our heart. It's not just something we conjure up one day and say, well, I'm going to sin all I want to, but then when I get old and I get ready to die, I'll go ahead and say, Jesus, save me. So I get to enjoy sin here, and then I'll enjoy heaven forever. No, it's not like that. It's a supernatural work of God's Spirit drawing us. The Bible says this. In fact, Jesus says it in John. Let me give you the reference. John chapter 16. Again, I'll read it to you. We can put it on the screen. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. John 16, verse 7 says that, let me get back to the right page. John 16, 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. The root sin is unbelief. Every other manifestation of sin comes out of that root of unbelief. So not believing. And Jesus said this in John 6:44. Again, if you want to write it down, John 6:44. These are important truths to know because Jesus says, not only will the Holy Spirit convict of sin and convict us of unbelief, but he says in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Please, let's get this truth. Without the Holy Spirit's convicting and drawing, there is no Holy Spirit saving. There must be the conviction and drawing of the Holy Spirit. Now, he will use us, and that's why we're to pray, and that's why we're to plead and witness and persuade, but it's not the awesomeness of our presentation that saves people. It's the power of God moving on someone's heart that saves us. And we can come up with all the other arguments. I listened to Brother Mark's message earlier this week from Sunday, his message last week, and he was saying, I'm not going to debate people because it's got to be the Holy Spirit to draw you. I said, that's right. The Holy Spirit must do the convicting and the drawing because he is the only one who can do the saving. Repent and believe the good news. Would you say that with me? Repent and believe the good news. So here's a question. I want to just close with the last couple of verses. I want to go back to read you a couple more in Mark 1, and then we'll close in Acts 16 once again. I'm not asking anyone to say anything out loud here, but just please think about this. Those of you maybe you're watching or listening, please. Has God's Holy Spirit convicted you of sin, of unbelief, and drawn you to believe in Jesus as Lord? If he has, because someone may wonder, I don't know if I really have or not. I went to church and I joined, I was baptized, I really felt something, I cried, I went to the altar, I repeated a prayer. All those things are good. None of those things are bad. It's just that in themselves they are not salvation. There has to be that work of God. And Jesus said, remember, he said, repent and believe in the good news. And then right after that, back there in Mark chapter 1, verse 16, he says this. He walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Here's a good indication that you're genuinely born of God's Spirit. You ready? That you've really repented and believed in Jesus as Lord. You're following Jesus. Are you following Jesus? Again, these works do not save us. It's just evidence that we have a genuine walk in faith with the Lord. That's all. Because Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for my sheep. And my sheep, I know them, and they know my voice. They hear me, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. So he does that drawing. So are we following Jesus? And are you living in fellowship with him? So that's the thing. This is a walk with the Lord. It's knowing God becomes our Father. Jesus is our Lord. He's our Savior. And when we're born of God's Spirit, brothers and sisters, thank God he's our Savior. But he's much more than just the one who forgives our sins. He is our comforter. He is our deliverer. He is our healer. He is our helper. He is our provider. He is the lifter of our head. He is our protector. He is our way maker. He is our all in all. I've come to find out that Jesus is absolutely necessary. There is no heaven without him. He's perfect for the sweet by and by, but Jesus is good for the nasty now and now too. We need him today. And if we know him, he's with us. His Spirit is in us. And we get to walk with him every single day. I'll never face a trial, a loss, a problem, or challenge, or temptation in this life that alone Jesus is with me by his Spirit. And we get to be with him forever. But we've got to start off right. We got to get that. If we get the first step right, we can keep walking with him. Repent and believe the good news. I close with Acts chapter 16. I want to go back where we started and look at why this man even asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Again, I'm not bashing this man who said, you don't have to repent. I sort of don't know his heart. I don't question his salvation at all or anyone's. But I hope I've laid that foundation from Scripture, not me, but you see it for yourself from God's Word, repentance and faith. And it's not just one-time event. Repentance and faith are for us who know the Lord too. The Bible says in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus speaks directly to seven churches, his church, and he tells them, 8 times he mentions to 5 churches, repent, 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 repent. These are Christians, at least there, some of them certainly are. Again, repentance, that change of mind, a willingness to turn. Anytime God's Spirit reveals something to us that is not like Jesus, what does he call us to do? He calls us to repent. He calls us to repent. That simply means I'm willing to, you know what? This is not right. I've had a bad attitude. I cussed that lady. We turn from that, repent. And we turn from whatever that is, it's a change of mind, and we turn to the Lord and we believe him. Repentance and faith is not just, yes, we're sorry. The Bible says godly sorrow works repentance to salvation. So there is a sorrow. I'm sorry, Lord, I messed up. I'm wrong. I agree with you. That was wrong. But then that turning is not just believing, you know, it's like turning, I'm sorry, but it's turning to say, I believe you paid for that sin, and I believe that I'm in you, and you're in me, and so I'm repenting, and I'm turning, and right now I receive your forgiveness. Right now I believe you and receive your cleansing. Right now I believe you and I receive your grace. Right now I turn and I believe you and I receive your empowerment and your victory and your help to walk this thing out again, to stay on the right path. It's a lifestyle. It's not just a one-time step. Once again, will you say it with me? Repent and believe the good news. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. This man is a jailer. For sake of time, I'll read a couple verses from it in just a moment, but just let me read it one more time. Verse 30 says, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This man was a jailer, and he had just seen that day two Christians, two followers of Jesus, beaten unmercifully with rods. They upset the local officials because one of them had cast a demon out of a girl and she was no longer able to do her fortune telling, so forth, and the people who owned her lost their upcoming money. And so they were mad. They stripped their clothes off and beat them with rods. They gave them to this jailer and said, you put them in a secure place until we bring them out for trial. He takes them, based on their word and puts them in the inner stock and puts their feet in stocks. Y'all have seen those, right? Y'all ever play like you're in those? And maybe Williamsburg or wherever, Colonial Williamsburg, they're in the stocks. And at midnight, these Christians who have been beaten for their testimony of Jesus were singing hymns and giving God praise. He had seen these believers beaten, and here they are still singing and praising God. How many of you remember the earthquake we had some years ago that kind of rattled the house a little bit? Y'all, a number of us remember that? They had an earthquake. That's what you call the jailhouse rock right there. And you remember how when I was in the office working, Brittany was home, I think, doing some homeschooling. And have you ever put like tennis shoes in the dryer? And sometimes they get going bruh, 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 and start shaking the house or whatever. At first I thought that's what I said, what in the world is she having that dryer, man? I think it was going to town. And then it started going on. I was like, I don't think that's the dryer. But could you imagine being in a jail and there's that strong that the foundations of the building are starting to shake and it's so violent of a shaking that people's chains are falling off of them. And because this jailer is responsible for everyone, if you lost a prisoner, you die. So when he saw that, I won't be too elaborate here. I don't know if a child might be watching, but I'll just say that he was going to take his life, all right? And these Christians said, don't harm yourself. We're all here. And this man called for a light, and they brought him a lantern. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, in verse 29, he called for a light. He ran in. Notice this. He fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He fell down trembling and said, what must I do to be saved? Do you think he was repenting? I think he had that part down. Did he repent and believe in the good news? He absolutely did. And notice what happened. The Bible says this in verse 32 of that same chapter, that they spoke the word of the Lord to him and everyone who was in his house. They went and took the good news to his family. And verse 33 says he took them that same hour of the night where they'd been bleeding and beaten and the blood had crusted on their bodies. He washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with his whole household. Isn't that something? The whole family ended up getting saved because of the witness of two Christian men who were faithful. Do you see how there was the drawing of God? And then it was simply, yes, I believe Jesus is Lord. And he got saved and his whole family got saved. That's the good news. Repent and believe the good news. I'll close with this. Maybe, whether it's someone here today or maybe someone watching or listening, is God's Holy Spirit drawing you now? Is he convicting you that, yes, I have sinned, and I realize, don't you know that everyone, regardless of age or circumstances, everyone who is born of God has complete forgiveness of all sins. Everyone who is born of God has right standing with God and the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit on the inside, doing that work of heart change in us by his grace. Everyone, it doesn't matter whether you were a radical like Saul out persecuting Christians, trying to get them to blaspheme the name of Jesus, or was one of his sons in the faith who got saved when he was just a little child and he never got into that life of sin. Either way, everyone who is born of God's Spirit has that new beginning and God's Spirit on the inside. So is God's Spirit drawing you now? And if he is, please, just simply turn from unbelief, believe that Jesus really is Messiah and Lord, and receive him today. And however that may be worded, you may repeat a prayer, but it's just even on your own to say, God, I believe you love me. I know I've sinned, and I believe you sent Jesus to die on a cross to pay for my sins, and he came back to life, and I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Jesus, I believe in you as Lord. Help me to follow you now. And then I want to encourage you, then every day, enjoy fellowship with him. Just enjoy fellowship with him. Worship, love him, bless him, pray to him, and grow in Christ and do everything that you do to the glory of God. Can we stand together? We'll close in prayer. Repent and believe the good news. Lord, today, if there is anyone, even just one person, whether it's in this place, somewhere else, at any time, we acknowledge that we need you. We cannot rescue ourselves from sin and eternal death. You already paid the price, though. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Please draw people to Jesus today. Draw people to genuine salvation, not religion, to you, to know you as Lord, and to follow you all the days of their lives right into eternity. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness that leads us to repentance. And Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to our understanding and just have your way. And can we just take a moment right now? Maybe someone even right here listening today, and maybe you're not sure of your own salvation. And if you know the Lord, man, what a great privilege it would be for me to just point you to him. I hope I've done that all morning. But is there anyone here today who would just simply, if I don't necessarily want to put the camera on anyone, if we can maybe get an entitled media, but maybe there's someone here today who would just say, Brother Rocky, today is my day. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Lord today. Is there anyone here who would just raise their hand and say, Brother Rocky, would you pray for me? Anyone here? Again, you may know the Lord. That's great. God bless you. But anyone at all? Anyone? For many of us, and I sense this, I know we do, just from knowing some of you and just from preparing during the week, that for many of us, we have lost loved ones. We love them. We don't want to be like bashing them, preaching at them, but we want them to be saved. How many of you would say, I have someone who's very close to me, and I want them to know Jesus, and I want to agree with you in prayer even right now. Is there someone right here today who would just raise your hand? Lord, bless you. Thank you. Father, we lift them up before you as well, and we call them to your kingdom. We call them into your family, O Lord. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that your love would reach them wherever they are. Lord, that you would reveal their need. Lord, maybe some are in the so-called pig pen of the world. Maybe some aren't. But whatever, if we don't know you, we need you. I'm asking, would you please send laborers into their path? Use us, empower us by your Spirit to be the laborers in your harvest in someone's path, even today. Lord, draw them. Please, please draw them. Draw them to Jesus. Draw them to new life. Just make them the people that you would have them to be, not in our image, in yours. By your grace, would you do it? Thank you that it's your heart. You want all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And you don't want anyone to perish, but that all would come to repentance. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We just sing this song as a little prayer, asking the Lord to draw us into his will, draw us closer to him, and just to have his way. And then as he draws us, let's just follow him with all of our heart. So a simple chorus as a prayer. Draw me, Lord. Jesus, fill us, Lord. Witnesses, Jesus.
Oh, fill me.
Thank you for loving us, Lord.
Oh, fill me.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'll run after.
Heal me, Lord. I need you to heal me, Lord.
Oh, heal me, Lord. And I'll run after.
Can we sing Save Me one time? Save me.
Oh, save me, Lord.
Every lost person. Lost loved ones, save me, Jesus.
Oh, save me, Lord. And I'll run after.
One more time, draw me.